Hi, good evening, and welcome to the edition of Community People. I'm delighted tonight. Let's say he's a friend, actually. His second time around, Graham King, the pastor of Peace Haven Free Evangelical Church. Can you hear me all right?
I can, yes.
Perfect. Thanks, Dan. We're going to chat about the church, and if you listen to the first show back in January, Graham was off to India to the orphanage, and we're going to hear all about how that went, plus some other things as far as Peace Haven. All that, though, after the rest of Mason Williams. As usual, Mason Williams, starting my edition of Community People. And as I say, I met Graham, it was early January, I think, wasn't it?
Right, yep. Before our last trip.
For the last trip, that's right. And for the listener who perhaps didn't hear the show last time, you're the pastor of the Free Evangelical Church. I'm not going to say that too often.
That's right.
I've no trouble saying it. Yeah. Over in Peace Haven. And before we get on to the India bit, let's talk about what the church does.
Okay, well, we're a local community church based in Peace Haven and very active. It's wonderful to see that the church is growing, new people, younger people, families connecting with us. My family and I have only been back in England for about 2.5 years, and I've been the pastor for that time. And we're just thankful for the church, and to be a part of it and to see what's happening is so encouraging.
Yeah. Because my recollection was you'd been in various parts of Europe as well, hadn't you?
Yeah, we were living actually mainly in Budapest, Hungary. That's for it. 18 years, but doing missions work in different places, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the church itself in Peace Haven does a whole number of things. And we'll get on in a moment to how the Indian connection came along. Yeah. In fact, let's do that now, because, again, I speak to so many people, but I recollect that a young lad came past on a bus, didn't he, or something. Was that the story?
Well, it's a wonderful story, and it's always such a joy to share it, because it's quite inspiring. Okay. It's a story, really, that goes from England all the way across to India, to say from Sussex all the way to Odisha, or more specifically, from Peace Haven, this little local community town, all the way across to Paralakumundi, which is an ancient town of about 80,000 today that serves many of the tribal villages up in the Sora Hills in the mountain area. And there was a young Christian man by the name of David who grew up in one of those villages. And he always had a dream that maybe one day he'd get to go to England. He told me the story of this trip that he remembers with a stick writing the word England in the dirt while he's watching the planes go across in the sky and just praying, say, oh, Lord, I'd love to go to England one day. So in time, he meets this, he's in a train station in Calcutta. He meets this elderly English woman who's visiting and he's reading his Bible. She says, oh, you're a Christian. He said, yeah. And she says, oh, have you ever been to England? He said, no, it's my dream. She said, well, I'll bring you over. So she brought him over. She lived in Sussex. And when you go to the region that he's from, you realize that how incredibly different it is, how shocking it must have been for him to come and be in England. And while he was here, he was on his way to Brighton. He was on the top of a bus going along the South Coast Road, and he sees our church building right on the Sussex Road, and he says, oh, I have to go to that church. So he stumbles in on a Sunday morning, meets some of our elders, and shares with them that he has a heart to work with young orphans, and he has a few living on the floor in his one-room place in India. And he says, please, will you come and see? Please come and see. So these two men, then in their 60s, now in their 70s, they said, listen, we need to go. We need to see for ourselves. So that's what they did. They got on a plane and they went to this remote region of India. I mean, you where we go, you never see another foreigner there. Most of these people, and especially in the villages, they've never seen a white face before. And so this is where they went to. And they went, sure enough, saw these orphans sleeping on the floor, really living hand to mouth, very poor conditions, and their hearts were moved. They came back to Peace Haven, shared that with the church, and the rest is this wonderful history of faith and donations and a really a miraculous result of a children's home in India.
So that was almost, I mean, sort of It was just meant to be somewhere, wasn't it, along the line?
It was.
He's just on the top of the bus. If he'd been downstairs, he probably wouldn't have seen it.
There you go. We certainly recognise the hand of Providence in the whole project.
So India is mainly Hindu, is it?
It is, yeah.
It is, 90,
I think it's 94, 96%, something like that.
96%. So you've got this Christian lad then now.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll come on to the trips that you've, the elders do and you do as well. But, I mean, how are Christians met as far as the government and everything else out there? Do you get any problems? Or
There is quite a bit of opposition and persecution from Hindus towards Christians because they're such a minority there. There are quite a lot of the villages that 100-plus years ago would have been Hindu, but now they're Christian villages, and that's because of Canadian Baptist missionaries that went over there 100, 120 years ago and had a missions work there, and now those villages are Christian. So there's not so much the government can do about that.
No.
So
let's go back again to the church setup then. When you say the elders are the sort of seniors of the evangelical church.
It's a term just meaning those who are leading the church.
So they're the sort of... bold, if you like. If the elders agree with something, then it tends to get done. Presumably.
It does, but it's certainly we put it before the church, and there's a membership, and they vote. So it's a decision with one heart among the church to do it. So everyone was on board when they.
But it's massive, isn't it? It's not as if you're saying, well, look, we're going to go to Salt Dean or we're going to go to New Haven. You're going from Peacehaven to the remotest parts of India.
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite a faith venture, and when you look back at it, you realize that you think it's incredible what has happened from this small little local community church, with the members being on board and having a vision and donations. We decided to give 10% of our budget towards missions and that work, and over these years, it's been remarkable what's happened.
Yeah. Okay, and I seem to remember the last time. Had you just come back from a trip last time, or were you just preparing to go?
Just poised to go. It was about a week before.
And that's happened. That's what we're going to partly talk about tonight, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we'll chat again to the listener as well about, as you say, the remoteness of the places, because it takes you days to get there, doesn't it? It's not as if they've got their own airport and taxi to the village.
No. Yeah, we fly into Delhi, and then get another flight a few hours down further south to Visakhapatnam, which is a large border city from Andhra Pradesh and Odisha, and then we drive up with a 4x4 about 4 or 5 hours to Paralakamundi, which is where our work is based. Yeah.
So the very first time then, or once the elders are visited, I mean, the orphanage wasn't there as such, was it?
No.
You built the orphanage.
Exactly. Found a plot of land, built the land, and then the next step was the foundation and the plans and from nothing, ground up.
Yeah, and I seem to recall again there were quite a few kiddies there of various ages. I mean, they are just genuinely orphans, aren't they?
Right. Well, now there's about 55 children from the ages of about 6 up to about 17, 18. Some of the older children are ones that were right there right from the beginning. They've been all the way through, and some of those have gone on to college now, which is wonderful to see. Mm. They're given more opportunities because of the home and because of the encouragement, environment, and education. It's great to see that there are new kids coming in and kids going on to college. I mean, since I was there last year, there was another 10 children added, 9 boys and 1 girl. And of course, they find themselves in the home because of various circumstances. Some of the backstories are very moving. Mm. Their parents are killed in accidents or all kinds of things, and they find themselves suddenly their new home and their new life is in this children's home. It's called the Home of Life.
Yeah. And didn't you tell us last time again, it's all coming back to me now, where they all sat around in the circle and sort of told their stories, and a couple of them were moved to tears, really, because they hadn't told anybody about it.
Yes. We tried to avoid that this year because it was...
But it was a release for them, wasn't it? At least being able to talk about it.
It was. It certainly was. It started, one of them told this, they one by one stood up and told their story. And of course, every one of the children, no matter what age, could all relate to the story of the other and identify with the loss. So as it went, just one by one, they were just sniffling, and everyone, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. And of course, it was a very special time, although it was quite emotional and difficult. Mm. But it was special, and you don't forget things like that because this is very, very real. This is the lives of these children. The rest of their lives are affected. So.
And again, I do remember you telling us last time that you bought mattresses, or everyone thought it was a good idea to buy mattresses so the kids could sleep on mattresses.
Yeah, it was earlier on, some years back. I know that they had financed beds and mattresses for the kids, but they really didn't use them because they're so used to just unrolling a little mat and sleeping on the mat. So the beds were not used, and they got rid of those. So.
Yeah. And you were also telling me before about you were able to take certain medicines there, because did I get that right?
Yeah, well, we do take supplies and toys and clothes as much as our baggage allowance affords, and then we take money over, and we try and get a lot of what's needed once we're over there.
I'm with you, yes. And I saw the videos. We'll come on to the latest trip as well, but you posted loads of videos, didn't you, on YouTube and your journey. And the thing that struck me, and I said to you off air, were two things. One was the colour. It was vibrant, all the colours they were wearing. Mm. And secondly, they were all smiling and laughing, and it was genuine. You could tell they were all happy.
Yeah. Well, definitely the colours of the clothes, particularly with the ladies, it is striking. Even in the most poorest remote places, you'll see some of the Indian ladies are working out in the fields, and they're wearing these beautiful bright colored saris, or they're carrying stacks of wood on their head from the village, but they're wearing these beautiful saris. So they may not have a wardrobe full of them, but they certainly look beautiful, yeah. Mm.
And you were also telling me again, and I remember it from last time, when they painted the building, they painted it bright. It was vivid colours.
Yeah, when you come out of the town, you come into the countryside. I'll never forget my first trip when I came to the home, and all of a sudden you see the most brightly coloured building. It's bright lime green with pink and orange trimmings. It sounds awful, but it's actually really lovely building, and the children chose the colors, which is why it's like that. But you certainly don't miss it. No. When you're driving, you see it in the distance, and it's a remarkable place. When you're there, you can't help be so thankful that building exists, because it's an incredible provision. It's part of the redemptive story of these children's lives. Not only now do they have a physical provision, but a spiritual provision, a place where there's so much love and care. And we're just thankful for that.
Did you ever, we haven't talked about this, but did you ever know what happened to David in the end then?
In what sense?
Well, he was on the bus coming over, wasn't he? He came and saw you. I mean, is he back there in India?
Oh, we see him all the time.
Oh,
he's the leader of the home.
Oh, he is?
David
right.
is, yeah, okay. he's the leader of the home with one of his brothers, and there's four others that volunteer that are part of the team.
Right.
So right from the inception all the way to today, he's been at the...
He's been there.
He's right at the forefront. And they all just laid down their lives for those children. Yeah, he's quite a character.
Yeah, well, he was certainly, he had the inspiration to stop at your place, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have a chat in a minute. I mean, this is a fascinating story. We're just touching the surface, and a third of the show's gone already. We'll be back in a couple of seconds after Roy Orbison.
Every time I look into your loving eyes, I see a love that money just can't buy. One look from you, I drift away. I pray that you got it. Anything you need, Everything about you tells me I'm your man. I live my life to be with you. No one can do the thing you do. Anything you want, you got it. Anything you need, you got it.
Has a new property to let, they think of meeting estate agents first. Why? Because they know they're in safe hands. For many years, we've been providing a personalised, tailor-made service to landlords, finding them the best possible tenants and making sure every last detail is taken care of. See meetingestates.co.uk or call us on Newhaven 515566. Meeting Estate Agents. Your property, safe in our hands.
Bengal Palace, the multi-award-winning Indian restaurant in Church Street, Seaford. A proud family tradition of contemporary and unique South Indian cuisine. In Seaford, over 30 years, you can discover our delicious combination of subtle tastes and spices. To reserve your table, takeaway or delivery service, call 01323 899 477. Bengal Palace, Church Street, Seaford. Indian cuisine to tempt and satisfy.
You already know that Everett Tiles make tiles easy. But you have to find our showroom to really take advantage of our fabulous current offers. With great deals on tiles for bathrooms, kitchens and conservatories, including our popular new wood effect tiles. There's plenty of on-site parking at our Cradle Hill Road showroom on the Cradle Hill Industrial Estate, Seaford. Plus, free local delivery and help on hand from our friendly and knowledgeable staff. Everett Tiles, a place worth finding, where tiles are made easy.
Sold it is.
Hi, I'm Jeanette from Eastbourne Auctions. Come to our next Saturday sale this Saturday to include furniture, collectibles, militaria and general house clearance lots. Watch it live at eastbourneauction.com.
Call Eastbourne Auctions 01323 431 444 or go to eastbourneauction.com.
Sold it is.
At Winds and Seaford Fencing, we're doing our bit to help keep you warm this winter. We're currently offering pre-packaged coal, logs and kindling, and we can deliver them to your door. We're a long-established local business catering for all your domestic and commercial fencing repairs, as well as fence erection. Plus, we're your local area supplier for top-quality fencing materials. Visit us at Unit 9 Cradle Hill Industrial Estate, Seaford, or call Seaford 891 292.
Wednesday, community people with Carpets at West One. the small local carpet company that looks at the bigger picture. For all your flooring needs, call Carpets at West 1 on 01323 894 114.
My guest tonight on Community People, Graham King, the pastor of Peacehaven Free Evangelical Church. And we've been chatting... I'm not going to say that anymore, Graham. we've been chatting about all sort of things, how David got involved, what your church does, the building and the development of the orphanage. Talk us through the current, because you literally have just come back, haven't you?
Yes, just a few weeks ago. We were there for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
There were three of us that went on the trip. One of them, it was his first time, and it was interesting because for 40 years he had been a health inspector. So for him to go to some of the places that we went to and see some of the things we saw, he had to switch that side of. But he had an incredible trip, and we all did. It was such a rich experience.
Mm.
So it's a joy to go and be at the home and really see what has happened. For him, for example, he'd heard so much about it, just as I had a few years ago. But when you go and you see it firsthand and you see the children, you see really what it means. It's very, very powerful. Mm. And of course, without the church and those that have donated and support the work, that children's home would just simply
wouldn't happen,
it just wouldn't have happened in the beginning. And it wouldn't be able to continue. So we really are so thankful for everyone who gives and prays and supports that work. And every penny really makes a difference. Mm.
So you obviously plan your trips. You have to, I suppose, because there's a limit to how much stuff you can take out. As you say, you take money, therefore you can buy bits and pieces out there.
Right.
But, I mean, you do building work, repair work, and sort of update different things when you're out there.
Yeah, there's always a measure of maintenance and things that need to be done on the home. It's quite a substantial building. We could probably go up to about 100 children if we...
Oh, really?
If we wanted to, but our budget at the moment really doesn't allow that. But so this year, there's some government pressure to come up to certain standards, which is, of course, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But it meant that this trip we had to put in fire extinguishers and CCTV cameras and shutters on the windows and build a wall around the land and everything. So that's always an expense that we incur in different ways when we go. Like last year, we laid floor tiles and things like that. So, but the building itself is effectively finished and operational. So. It's wonderful.
And the congregation of back at Peacehaven, they're obviously still fully supportive of this.
Oh, absolutely, It's very much in our hearts. We're always thinking about it and praying about it. We've got pictures of the kids up and it's in our hearts.
And we're going to talk a little bit later on. You've got a special Indian night coming up as well, haven't you? We're going to try something as well here, listener, because Graham kindly has brought back a little... we don't know if it's going to work or not, but you got the kiddies singing there the other day. Now, you won't understand what they're singing, because they're singing in Indian?
Actually, in Odia, the local dialect.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to have a try. We're going to try and put a mobile phone against the speaker and just give you a snippet of these youngsters. You have a go at this, mate, and I'll see if I can do something with the controls.
Yeah, that's just a quick snippet of the children singing. We would meet with them every morning, every night, and we would, teach Bible stories and Bible principles, and they would always sing and clap and are always so enthusiastic. So.
Yeah. On a serious, well, that is serious, obviously, but again, I remember last time we chatted, the story of the leper colony, is that... That was nearby, wasn't it?
Leper colony. It's in Paralakumundi. It's another one of the ministries that David has, who leads the home. He's got several things that he's involved in, and one is this leper colony. There's only about 24 people that live on the colony. From one of the early trips about 10 years ago, we were able to get the medicine from the World Health Organization so that they could be cured of leprosy. Hmm. But they still have the
scars.
The scars and the effects of it and the sores, and they still need attention. So actually, since we've been back from this trip, there's a lady who's trying to get onto lepra, which is an organisation to try and help send people to assess the wounds and the needs. But that's going to take some pressure from us for them to see it through.
And I remember you telling me the story of the girl that was born there who didn't have leprosy.
Right.
Was that right? Accepted by anybody else outside of the...
Yes, her name is Swati. She's a beautiful teenage girl now. She's 18 years old. And her story is that she was abandoned as a baby girl in the field right next to the hospital.
That's right.
And she was found by one of the ladies from the leper colony. And because this lady had touched the baby, no one else would have it. So she ended up being raised her whole life on this colony. And when we say colony, it's really just a small patch of land with a few really run-down buildings. The conditions are, it's shocking for us. It's very shocking to walk through and imagine that people are living in those conditions. The trips I've had there, you just find you're trying to hold yourself together and not just break down because of the conditions. And they tell you with tears that all of their family, their friends, everyone has abandoned them. No one visits them. There's a little platform at the front gate where people, if they want, they can leave food and medicine, and then they just leave.
Yeah.
The only people that visits them is David and other Christians from the home and us when we go. And we're able to take, you know, lots of supplies and clothes and things like that, which we did this year. Different people from Peacehaven were donating, so we were able to do that. And they say to you, thank you for these supplies that you bring. They make such a difference. But the main thing for us is to know is that you bring the expression of God's love, that we are loved and accepted, and that means more to us than anything.
Yeah.
So it's quite something.
Oh, God, yeah. I would find that harrowing, I'm afraid, just hearing the story as well.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on some more positive things at the moment. I mean, the story is positive because you've made a difference.
Yeah,
to a whole number
of people. Yeah, there is a difference that's been made in that home, certainly.
Yeah.
I mean, they're cured, and we're hoping that they're going to get some more medical attention, and we are able to help them get supplies and things that they need. So that's the redemptive side of it.
Yeah. Going back to the orphanage, where does the food come from? Do they grow their own, or do they have sufficient funds now to go out and buy food?
There's a very, very small, minimal provision from the government. They get a few bags of rice from the government, but it's certainly not enough to sustain them. So really, it's our support that's able to help them really operate and have enough food and clothing and everything for the children. So we as a church support regularly, and also we have a program that we initiated last year called Support a Child Program. We estimate it's about £25 a month to cover the cost.
I remember you telling me that, yes.
Yeah, yep. One child for a month, that's their food, their clothing, the operation of the home to cover the needs. So... And, you know, we've had some responses to that because it really puts, a name, a picture, a face to what you're giving. It's not it's not just a generic giving, but you know that amount is really taking care of the needs of a child. And so that's been, you know, wonderful to see that. And you know, sometimes with giving to charities, you never quite know how much is going to hit the ground. But we're so happy to say we know that every penny hits the ground.
Yeah, a lot goes in administrative fees or their fundraising salary or whatever it is. Yeah. So when's the next trip planned for that? Have you got a date yet or not?
Well, typically it's an annual trip probably again next January, perhaps.
Yeah.
Nothing's sure yet.
But you're in constant touch with them, though, presumably.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, with access to the web now and...
Yeah.
Yeah, you can...
Yeah, well, they don't really have... But there's different ways that we can stay in touch.
Okay,
Their internet is a bit unpredictable, yeah.
Oh, I assume you're probably sort of, you know, WhatsApping each other every day and they're showing you pictures of something saying, this needs repair.
Yeah, David does have WhatsApp, but it's not always so consistent to reach them, but...
Let's come back home for a minute. We'll come back to this in a second anyway. We heard the children singing. The church has obviously got loads of things going on still because the church, by and large, well, 7 days a week, is still operational in Peacehaven. It's not just dealing with the Indian thing, is it?
Right.
I mean,
no, exactly.
So you've got your coffee mornings.
Right. We're a local church with a heart, really, to serve and minister in the community. So our building, you know, is used by lots of people, different events, different groups, and fitness people come in and rent the building. And then as a church, we have lots of opportunities for people to come and we have coffee mornings on a Wednesday morning. We have a Bible class on a Tuesday night. We have a youth group on Friday night.
I remember you talking about the youth. Yes.
Yeah, so yeah, all of that's on our website, pefc.org.uk, our schedule, and we extend a warm welcome to anyone in the community to come on down.
And what's this, it's in its early days yet, the Indian night and the presentation? I know you haven't got a date
yet. Yeah, we typically have an Indian night. We leave it a few months after the trip so that we can, you know, ramp it up again some months after, and it's a night where we have Indian food. A few of us will dress up in some of the things that we bought over there, and then we have a presentation and an opportunity for an offering at the end.
Right.
So it's a free night, and people can come along. It's really just to impart to people what's happening there, and for people to have an opportunity to support it if they want.
You'll have to let us know when that is, because
that's
open to all, is it? That's just a church that people can just turn up on.
Right.
Yeah, don't have to be members of that congregation.
No.
We'll come back to that, the email address or the web address afterwards. So we've got morning coffees, we've got the youth group, you've got your Bible classes on your Tuesday night. The building is open, it's a flexible space, so that generates income for the church. Whatever it is.
You keep it very reasonable, but yes, it does.
Yeah, and the heart of the community in Peacehaven. Let's go back to the India thing, because I find it really fascinating out there. I mean, you, there's a lot of prep work that you have to do on that. I mean, do you have your injections every time, or are you...
Not every time.
They're
you
in your system still.
Yeah, there's quite a few different shots and things that you need to go, but we were all prepared for that,
Yeah.
Take your malaria tablets and things
like that. Don't drink the water.
No, certainly not. You have to be very careful about, you know, what you eat and drink, and take lots of your own supplies up there.
And presumably their systems are more used to it, aren't they? They've grown up
Right. They're all drinking the water from their well and everything.
Yes.
We would get deathly sick.
That's right, yes. Yeah, I remember I went to Goa a few years ago, and even though they said, oh, don't drink this and don't drink that, you do, or you clean your teeth in the tap water, and I was really quite ill.
No, we're really very, very careful, because particularly where we are, the last thing you'd want is start getting to sick, you know, so
yes,
we're very careful.
Yeah. Okay, I'll tell you what, let's play some music. We'll come back. What have I got? I'm just conscious of the time here. Let me pick a little small one. Tina Charles, I Love to Love.
Bye.
That is Tina Charles, I Love to Love, from 1976.
So, I'm at my neighbour Angela's, and she says, I'm going to see Mark. And she had a big smile on her face. It was surrounded by, well, junk, I thought it was. But looking back now, all I can see is a wad of £20 notes, plus at least 100 quid hanging from her ears.
If you've got any jewellery or antiques that you think might be valuable, bring them along to Mark. He might put a smile on your face. Mark's Jewellers, 16 High Street, Seaford. Call Seaford 873090.
Oh, you clever doggies. Learning one bark for yes and two barks for no. Right, so is Lawson Commercial the best place to go for all commercial property lettings? If you're looking for property to let? If you're a landlord with commercial property to let to others? Is there any point going anywhere else? Well, that settles that. For all your commercial letting needs, see lawsoncommercial.co.uk. Right, must be dinner time. You've spoilt it now.
Indoor bowls. It's all the rage. Getting ever more popular, everyone's having a go at indoor bowling. Whether you're 6, 16 or 60. All ages, all genders. There are new people playing this fun sport all the time. And now you can too. For free. At Denton Island Bowls, we're offering free taster sessions every first Saturday of the month from 10 a.m. till 12:30 p.m. You don't even need to book. Just come along, bring friends or family, and we'll get you up and running. Well, bowling anyway. See you there at Denton Island Indoor Bowls Club. Denton Island, New Haven.
Do you have a conservatory that's often unusable but don't want to spend a fortune insulating it? Then let More Space solve the problem by installing highly efficient solid panels. More Space insulated roof panels are a cost-effective alternative to replacements that can normally be fitted in a day with minimal disruption. Go to morespace.solutions or free phone 0800 003355. That's 0800 003355 today, and get to enjoy your conservatory again.
Wednesday, Community People with Carpets at West One. The small local carpet company that looks at the bigger picture. For all your flooring needs, call Carpets at West One on 01323 894 114.
And my guest tonight on Community People, Graham King. And I'm not going to say he's the pastor of Peacehaven Free Evangelical Church. And we've been chatting all different things through India and what the church's involvement is in the orphanage and the leper colony and everything else. Graham, presumably when you're there, you do sort of trips around the other villages as well?
We do. As well as the orphanage, we have another extended ministry up into the tribal villages. Some of them a couple of hours drive way up into the mountains. David terms it Open Ministries, which is Odisha Peacehaven Evangelical Network. And he has several churches now that he oversees. So we get to go up to these villages and meet these Christian people, and we get to preach and teach up there. And it's always an incredible experience, because these are places where some of these people have never seen white faces before, never seen a foreigner before. I mean, we were away, when you get to Paralakamundi, which is the main town of about 80,000 people, from the time you reach Paralakamundi, you don't see another foreigner until you get back to Delhi Airport.
Really?
Yeah. So it's really quite something. You go to these villages and they're just staring at you. But Paralakamundi itself, even though it's a major town that kind of serves a lot of these villages, even there, it's still very remote. You're still not going to see any foreigners there. And I realized on this trip, it's almost wherever your eye lands, you're seeing something that messes with you a bit culturally. It's so different, the way they do things, and it's such an array of different noises and sounds and smells and experiences all the time. Charging you all the time. And in the beginning, you're taking a picture of everything, and in the end, you're like, oh, I've got 20 pictures of that. Things like you're driving through Paralakamundi, and there's the tuk-tuks, of course, which are designed to carry three or four people, are crammed with 12 people, and people hanging off the sides, and little vans with six people riding on the
top. Seriously, just like you see in the films.
Oh, yeah. And then the motorbikes with families on with little kids and mother holding a baby, no one holding, wearing crash helmets. And we were driving at one time this trip, and this motorbike went by, and the father's driving and the son's sitting at the back, and between them there's a full-grown sheep straddled across the motorbike. And we just look at each other and we just think, this is India, you know, this is India. That's a phrase we coined a lot, you know, this is India. You just can't believe what you see. So, and then particularly when you go up into the mountain villages, you're so remote, and we drive up to these beautiful mountain passes and valleys with rice fields that step for miles through the valleys, and you're so high. It's a very mountainous area. And then you descend into this little village, and the people come out. One village we went to do a little conference up there with the believers there, and they meet us at the beginning of just outside the village, and they escort us in. And they're playing instruments, and one by one people are coming out of the house. So by the time you get to the center, the whole village is out. And then they wash your feet. They do this ceremony where they wash your feet. They garland you. They put flowers around your neck. They honor you, take you into the church. And then we had a conference with them. So all of that is a very humbling and a very, very rich experience.
Yeah. Presumably, I mean, they obviously don't speak English, do they? So does David translate then? I mean,
David translates sometimes, but the better translator is his brother, HK. His name is, he speaks HK. 14 languages.
Right.
14 languages. And a lot of those are the dialects, you know, the tribal languages that are unrelated. And it's incredible. So at one time I was speaking and we had two translators. So I would speak English, then another translator, and then a second translator. And not Hindi, but these mountain dialects. And he's fluent in all of those. So, yeah, we wouldn't get very far without him.
No. But by the sound of it, I mean, as you say, lots of poverty. And we were chatting again, weren't we, just during the break there. You know, there's no services there. So you haven't got gas and electricity, presumably.
Well, most of the mountain villages have some type of electricity that's been channeled in.
Oh, really?
Some type of cable that, you know, I think most of the villages have that. But whether they use it or not is another thing. Most of the you'll see no electrical appliances in any of the houses. The houses are very, very basic brick built. No window frames, no window covers, no flooring. Most of the roofs are either, thatched or very primitively put together. So, and they're still cooking on open flame, you know, so it's very different.
Yeah.
So one Sunday, Ian and I, we went up to one village and we were going to have a little conference up there. We weren't sure what to expect. And when we got up there, there were 1,200 people waiting for us. And they'd walk, some of them would walk miles for hours just to come and to be at this Christian gathering. And so that was, we were shocked by that. And it was a really special, blessed time. And again, you're looking at each other thinking, how did this happen? You're in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by rice fields and hundreds of these precious Indian believers. Just so thankful that you go and be with them.
Mm. Yeah. God. And I keep coming back to David, really, on the bus, I suppose, and the lady who had the vision to bring him over.
I know.
It's just, you know, certain things in life are meant to be, aren't they?
Certain
directions,
yeah.
Things happen for a reason.
Yeah, it is. It's remarkable. And, of course, we reflect on that story a lot because it's so encouraging and inspirational in the sense that a little seed of faith and a little seed of hope and that desire just see that come to such fruition.
Just meant to be.
And when you're there with the kids and you really see what has happened, there are some things in life that you can put a price to, and there are others that you just can't put a price to, and that's one of them. It is immeasurable.
Yeah.
You can count the bricks, you can count the pounds, you can measure the house. But what's happening there is really immeasurable and it's eternal and beautiful.
Mm. Okay, we're going to come back in a minute. Where are we? Let's have a listen to this. Sonny and Cher, rather nice.
Sometimes when I'm down and all alone, just like a child without a home,
keeps me hanging on. Oh, honey, all I ever need is you. You're my first love, you're my last. You're my future, you're my past. And loving you is all I ask, honey. Winters come and they go, and we watch the melting snow. Sure as summer follows spring, all the things you do give me a reason to build my world around you. Come and follow rainbows, I am told. Night until you say, my honey, all I ever need is you.
That is Sonny and Cher, All I Ever Need Is You, from 1972. And my guest tonight, Graham. I could chat to this bloke for ages. He's just so easy to listen to, and the stories he tells. Let's go back to India again, Graham. Yeah, leave us with a couple of thoughts about the people out there, the kids out there.
Oh, I wish I could take what was in my heart and just convey it as it deserves. But I'll leave with you the names and the stories of these two children. In fact, they're the youngest children in the home today, and it's a little girl by the name of Rahil and a little boy by the name of Asibel. They're both 6 years old, and in the hurricane of November 2017, they both lost both sets of parents. They both lost their mother and father, and then quite suddenly found themselves in the home of life with a new family, a new home, and so those types of stories are very moving and typical for many of the children that are there. And of course, when you see these children, you look into their face and you think about that story, and you think about you so would desire the best you could to tell the people in the church and in Peace Haven, everyone that prays and gives, the effect that they're having. Yeah. It's incredible.
Well, you're keeping them alive.
Simple as that, aren't you? It's an absolute life-saving provision for them. So I would just, desire for that to be in people's hearts, to realize that it's a wonderful work of grace and love and mercy. And I think it's a privilege to be a part of it in any measure.
Mm. Well, I chatting to you a couple of times now, I think they're lucky to have got you as well. In fairness.
Thank you.
Because the listener, I tell you, this man is passionate about this completely.
Well, I would, just to echo, I would say, we both realize they at the home are so thankful for the church in Peace Haven, and we in Peace Haven are so thankful for the home, because it's a real special connection.
Yeah, you both give each other inspiration. I'm going to just tell the listener, in case you want to have a little sort of see behind the scenes on this, if you go online to PEFC, that is Peace Haven Evangelical Free Church, pefc.org.uk. Have I got that right, Graham?
Yeah.
And there's a number of options on the screen. You've got About, so you can have a look about what the church is doing. There's a specific part for the India mission, and there's also, if you want to have a little donate towards it. So, and as Graham said earlier on, every penny that they raise goes towards supporting that. Listen, mate, we've got 46 seconds left. 45 seconds, 43 now, but you were going to say hello to just, your friends and your church, and especially your good lady.
Sure, yeah. I say great thankfulness for my family, Marina, my wife, and my three children, Ryan, Emily, and Allison. We moved here together 2.5 years ago, and we're so thankful for the PEFC, the church family there. And we'd just really like to say thank you for everyone in the church, in the community, and also those that are listening around the world to this recording afterwards. Those of you that have supported the work and pray for the work, thank you so much, and God bless you.
Brilliant. Couldn't have said it better myself. Right, thank you, Graham. No doubt we will speak again. Let's play a bit of music. Take us up to our colleagues at Sky News Desk at 8 o'clock, the Mavericks. I'll be straight back after the news. And this is Dance the Night Away.
Tell you that she wants me back. Tell her.